The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Some Greeks who had come to worship at the Passover feast came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there also my servant will be. I am troubled now, yet what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? But it was for this purpose that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd there heard it and said it was thunder, but others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered and said, "This voice did not come for my sake, but for yours. Now is the time of judgment on this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself." He said this indicating the kind of death he would die. The Gospel of the Lord. I think it's important for us to begin today with the context of the gospel we have just heard. Sometimes in order to understand what Jesus is actually doing, you need to go back to the Bible and see what happened before and after the passage that you are considering. The passage today begins, "Now there were some Greeks among those who had come up to worship at the feast." Of course, the feast was Passover. "They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, 'Sir, we would like to see Jesus.' Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went to tell Jesus. Jesus answered them, 'The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified.'" Immediately before this passage in the Gospel of John, we have just heard the account of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Today's gospel actually happens after the first gospel we will hear at Masses next week on Palm Sunday. It was at this moment that the people began to realize that this was the fulfillment of prophecies that had gone before. This is what the Gospel of John says before today's passage. "Fear no more, O daughter Zion. See, your king comes seated upon an ass's colt." His disciples did not understand this at first, but when Jesus had been glorified, they remembered that these things were written about him and that they had done this for him. So the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised Lazarus from death continued to testify. This was also why the crowd went to meet him, because they heard that he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the whole world has gone after him." The Greeks mentioned may have been from Greece or of Greek descent. Remember, Galilee was a trading center because of the fresh water of the Sea of Galilee, and people from all over the world passed through there on trade routes. Since they are looking for Jesus, either they heard of his teaching and miracles that he worked for the Gentiles, or they were converts to Judaism. They come to Philip and Andrew, disciples from Galilee, who actually have Greek names. I was doing some research. I didn't ever realize that Andrew and Philip were actually Greek names, that most of the people in Galilee were bilingual. They spoke Greek and Hebrew. So it's natural that the Greek people, would come to Philip and Andrew to gain access to Jesus. But as far as the Pharisees were concerned, all of them would have been outsiders. In this moment, the context is set for what is to come during Holy Week. The people, as the Pharisees say, the whole world, has now gone after Jesus. They realize they have lost, or at least are losing, and must do something drastic to stay in power. Their thirst for power, and probably their jealousy, sets all of this in motion. Then Jesus reveals his purpose. He says to them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Amen, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit." That might, I think, is one of the most difficult sayings of Jesus, unless you take it in the context with which we are listening today. Whoever loves his life loses it. Whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there also my servant will be. The Father will honor whoever serves me. We see the message of self-emptying love in Jesus' simple teaching, that our glory does not reside in the fact of our earthly existence, that God has called all of us to something much greater beyond. We don't exist for this world any more than a seed would be produced by any plant just to be a seed. In the mystery of the cycle of life in God's creation, a seed is produced for the purpose of regeneration, a new generation, and a multiplying of the gift of life. If people could just understand this, we are not given life so that we might only have life and enjoy it. What an empty, lonely finality comes with this attitude. We are given life so that we might offer it in love to God, selflessly, without hesitation. You can see how the world is completely confused about the mystery of the gift of human life and why so many people don't have reverence for each other. The seed exists to die and sprout a new plant, which will make seeds. In the creation narrative, however, the seed has another purpose. God gives the bounty of the earth's plants to Adam and Eve for food. I just discovered that this year, too. If you read the text, Adam and Eve were vegetarians. God doesn't give them the animals to eat. That's something that comes later, after the flood, I believe. He gives them the plants as their nourishment. The grain of wheat provides food. When we eat, we are given life and nourishment. This one other beautiful purpose of the seed, given in love, has great significance when the grains that are ground into flour become bread, which we then are given to take, bless, break, and share as divine life in the Eucharist. In all circumstances, the grain cannot simply decide to just remain a grain of wheat and have any hope of a future. The gospel continues as Jesus reflects on the reality that he is the seed that must die on the cross to bring life to the world. "I am troubled now," he says, "yet what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? But it was for this purpose that I came to this hour." We are reminded of his later agony in the garden when he asks the Father if there might be some other way for this love to save all of creation. There is not. "Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The voice of the Father verifies this core truth of our salvation. As we approach Holy Week, consider the gift of life that each of us has been given. Regardless of our race or color or place of origin, even regardless of our opinions and who can be wrong, we can be, or how wrong we can be, or how far we may have strayed from the path, this life is always precious and needs to be saved. There can be no Easter Sunday without a Good Friday. Today, as we share in this Eucharist, we bless the Creator of wheat. We bless the Spirit who has called us into this community to share it. We bless the hands that prepare it, and the one Jesus who offers himself to us through it, so that we too might be blessed, broken, and shared for the life of the world. Now, in every death, there is life. There is always an invitation to a deeper life.